Welcome to the Golden State Media Concepts College Football Podcast, your ticket to all things college football. Are you looking to get your college football fix? Looking to get the latest news on your favorite school's team? Join us as we talk college football from the national championship to college rivalries to bowl games to the Heisman Trophy to which conference is the best. We've got you covered for the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, Pac-12. ACC, and everything in between.
What is up? Welcome to the GSMC Football Podcast on a Wednesday today here, the final Wednesday before we're going to get this started. We're going to have games. We've had games, actually. Hawaii and Colorado State played last week, to be honest. And then I think there was another Mountain West game last week as well. But we have some big stuff going on, as I think the first game we're going to have tomorrow or Friday for your college football season getting started. Obviously, the big ones coming over the weekend. Obviously, this first week is kind of weird because rarely, if anybody, is playing a conference game in the first week. And then also, you have teams that are playing cupcake teams. You have teams that are playing a one-off conference game, like a Texas versus Maryland. That's going to be kind of interesting. Texas actually getting into the top 25. They're 23rd right now, ranked. Going into the season, we'll see how long they can stay in the top 25 this year. But, like, you know, you got Oklahoma versus FIU, and Ohio State's playing Oregon State. I mean, there's no Oklahoma. I mean, obviously they were in the big non-conference big matchup last year. But, you know, Ohio State drawing the other OSU, not Oklahoma State. There's a lot of OSUs. Oregon State University, though. And they were down at the bottom of the Pac-12 last year. So that'll be a test, obviously, in the first week coming on Saturday morning in Columbus. And then so going through, looking at this, the top 25 schedule for this week, I'm just going to run through it really quick. And then I know I put a CFP outlook and then old faces and new places. I mean, that being said, we addressed coaches, the new coaches, a little bit way back in the beginning, but I want to kind of go readdress it again as we come really close to obviously one more show on Friday morning, and then we're going to have the Stanford-San Diego State game at 6 o'clock that day. Michigan State's playing Utah State on Friday, and then Wisconsin plays Western Kentucky also on Friday. It looks like Michigan State game's at 4 o'clock Pacific time, so 7 Eastern on the Big Ten Network. Stanford, San Diego State at 9 Eastern on FS1, and then Wisconsin and Kentucky also at 9 Eastern on ESPN. Those are the games for Friday. There is one game on Thursday tomorrow. It is UCF and UConn, so there it is. I knew that was the first game this week, and that's the UCF favored by a bunch. Finally looking at these lines here, Wisconsin, whoa. So that'll be interesting to see how that first couple days work, and then we get into Saturday. So Saturday you're going to have a bunch, obviously. For the top 25, we'll go through here. Obviously, number 5, Ohio State, is going to be hosting Oregon State. Number 23, Texas, going to Maryland. That's going to be interesting going in there, especially after what's going on. They're still dealing with their own kind of internal investigation, I guess. Florida Atlantic, the Fighting Lane Kiffins, will be heading to Norman, Oklahoma, to face the Sooners. TCU will be hosting Southern. Clemson is hosting Furman. Obviously, we have the Chick-fil-A kickoff from Cowboy Stadium or AT&T Stadium in Texas and Dallas. That's Washington and Auburn. Austin Peay is playing Georgia. The last time I saw Austin Peay was when they were like a 13th seed in the or 15th seed in the NCAA tournament for basketball. But they're playing Georgia on Saturday in Athens. Then Tennessee visits West Virginia. Appalachian State visiting Penn State. UNLV visiting USC. Boise State actually is going to be going to, I think it's in Alabama. Isn't Troy in Alabama? Troy, yeah, it's they're playing at Yeah, they're playing in Alabama down there. And then Stephen F. Austin is visiting Mississippi State. Obviously, we have the Michigan-Notre Dame game. That's going to be – that's your second – I mean, that's your one with the – I think the most implications are maybe the sleeper most implications are the Miami-LSU game. Obviously, this Michigan-Notre Dame game, 14 versus the 12, is has a lot. And then, obviously, your 9 versus 6. And then, obviously, Louisville is going to be going to – Florida to Orlando to play Alabama, and then Bowling Green is going to be hosted by Oregon. Then we have two games Sunday, and then one on Sunday, one on Monday. The number 8 Miami against LSU. That's again from AT&T Stadium in Texas, and then Virginia Tech, number 20 Virginia Tech, and number 19 Florida State will go at it. And I believe that game is going to be at. Oh, it's going to be in Florida State. It's going to be at Florida State at Doak Campbell Stadium. Okay. So, yeah, it's going to be not a neutral site field for that. But that's actually the only game that we have two AC – have actually, at least that I'm noticing from the games that I just read off, that actually it's two teams from the same conference actually playing each other in week one, Virginia Tech and Florida State, both from the ACC. So, yeah, you'll have some ACC action on Monday, Monday Night Football. I guess it's going to be on ESPN. So, yeah, you'll have it on ESPN. I'm going to give you the channels for that one. So – the Miami LSU games on ABC, Michigan Notre Dame on NBC, as you would assume. Then the other two kickoff games, the Alabama game and the Washington Auburn game, are both going to be on ABC as well. So all those kickoff games, make sure you tune into ABC, not ESPN, ABC on your TVs there. If you are watching, it'll likely all be simulcast on the ESPN app as well. All right. I mean, the CFP outlook is, obviously it's really tough because there's always going to be an upset. It depends who it's going to be. Auburn won the Iron Bowl last year. They beat Alabama and still didn't matter. Now, of course, the joke is that Alabama needs like 5 losses to actually get knocked out of contention for a college football playoff berth. It's interesting to see that you have even though they lose, and not even a game that was that close. It was 26-14. Auburn beat Alabama, but that goes to show that. I mean, Auburn beat Alabama. I don't know if they use a transitive property, then Auburn would have got in. But the thing is, Auburn lost to Georgia twice. I'm assuming. I think right. They lost to Georgia once in the regular season. They lost to them in the SEC championship game. So. Yeah, that's not really going to be – that was kind of what it did. They kept their hopes alive that Alabama game, but losing – they needed to win that SEC championship game. They didn't. And that gave them – they had 3 losses. They already had 2 losses in the season. They weren't going to put a team with 3 losses in there. So I think 2 losses is your mark. So like in Ohio State, if you lose upset – and then you lose again to Michigan, and you don't make it to the – I mean, that's actually going to be an interesting scenario. So, like, what if they lose to an upset? I mean, Ohio State doesn't really have, like, a big game like they did last year, not big non-conference game like they did last year with Oklahoma. So, they're not going to have that much leeway where they're going to be able – I mean, they do play TCU. So, they do have a Big 12 matchup. They do play TCU in Week 3. So, I mean, that one, though, if you lose that one, I think that's not going to be as high of a pedigree as a loss to a team that finished in the 3rd position last year, like Oklahoma did last year, finishing 3rd in the CFP poll, and then you have Ohio State lose to them. But I mean, still didn't get them in. So they need to win. Ohio State really needs to run the table. If they lose to Michigan already has a loss, then that'd be interesting because then it'd end up both with 1 loss. Michigan would probably win that conference or win the division, get to the conference title game, and then have another chance to prove themselves. Because the thing is, yes, you want 1 more game. If you're undefeated, you're going to the conference title game anyways. But do you want that 1 more game? Like Alabama last year had 1 loss. They had 1 loss, so they didn't have to play in a conference championship game. Georgia did, and they both got in anyways. So I mean, that's just another opportunity for you. If Alabama beats Auburn and gets to the conference title game and loses to Georgia in the conference title game, they still both get in. I bet you. That'd be interesting to see if they still both got in, even though Alabama lost in the conference title game. But who else would have got in? Because I think Auburn had a better, even though Auburn had three losses, I think Auburn still had a better resume than Ohio State did, because Ohio State didn't really beat anybody of note. Auburn beat Alabama, the number one team in the country. So you can take that into account, and I think that Auburn, then it would, next one up would have been Ohio State. No, you still would have took Alabama there. And then going, I mean, looking at this season, we have a lot of games at the top end of the season that are going to determine a lot of stuff. I talked about it last show on Monday. The top 10 games that all have the most implications in the CFP. Heather Dinich, if you ever have questions about the college football playoff, look up, type in Heather Dinich ESPN and look for her latest article, because she does a great job updating and writing whether she's going to go on ESPN or on SportsCenter and talk in the camera, or she's actually going to be writing an article like she just has all offseason. It's pretty good. It's pretty good information. It gives you a nice little cutout of what it looks like. So, obviously, the bowl projections are going to be kind of coming out. You can head into week one. Obviously, everybody wants to make bowl projections, postseason projections. The playoff schedule, the college football playoff schedule is going to be, so it looks like the first semifinal game is the Cotton Bowl at AT&T Stadium on December 29th. Second one is obviously the same day. That's going to be the Orange Bowl from Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. And that's going to be on also the December 29th. So we have a couple different experts trying to do some predictions here. We have a Clemson versus Washington matchup in one of the semifinals, and then also an Alabama Oklahoma. I'm not sure about that, Oklahoma, and then Alabama Wisconsin and a Clemson Washington. So we consensus is Clemson Alabama getting in, and then obviously Washington or Wisconsin. Or an Oklahoma, or a combination of two of those three. I'm not that high on Wisconsin. I'm not really that. I mean, yes, Jonathan Taylor's great. Their schedule's a little bit tougher this year. Those road games are going to be tough. They have to get through all those road games with Alex Hornibrook at quarterback. I just don't. Their defense could carry them. That's the thing. The defense could carry them, but they just have to get. I mean, that Penn State road game is going to be tough. I think they have to go to. We looked at their schedule a million times, haven't we? They have to go to. Michigan State to play in Lansing. I mean, all those big. The thing is, obviously, Wisconsin, if anybody's used to playing in bad weather, it's them. So, I mean, they play in bad weather even at home. So, I would not be too worried about that part of it. I mean, though I always bring it up, oh, they're going to play in East Lansing in December. It's going to be freezing. Yeah, it is going to be freezing, but it's freezing in Madison in December, too. So, it doesn't really matter. Yeah, you get to go to Iowa, you have to go to Michigan, you have to go to Northwestern, you have to go to Penn State, you have to go to Purdue. I mean, that's not a big deal, but they go to Michigan, not Michigan State. They don't play Michigan State or Ohio State this year. But they have to go to Penn State, go to Michigan, and go to Iowa. So they have to win all, and Northwestern, which is not a slouch either. I mean, off the shore, I mean, I always say, oh, it's going to be cold up there in Evanston. It is. It's going to be cold in Evanston. It's cold in Madison the next week when they play Rutgers on the day before my birthday. There you go. November. That Northwestern game, if they can get through Michigan, if they beat Michigan at home, then you're like, whoa, I'll take Wisconsin for real on after October 13th. So in a month and a half or so, I'll take Wisconsin for real if they can get through, because I think they should be able to get through Iowa. But if they get through Michigan in Michigan, then I'll take them for real. And then obviously Northwestern and everything too. So, and Penn State. So they have some tough, there's some tough sledding, but they have the thing is that they can get through the undefeated or one loss maybe, at the end, who they play at the end there. Oh, it's Minnesota. No big deal. But so they honestly, if they get through the season, that one loss to Michigan, they'll still win that West Division. Then you probably either play Michigan or Ohio State in the conference title game, and there's your chance. That one loss to Michigan is not going to keep you out of. If you win the conference title game with one loss to Michigan, it's not going to keep you out of the CFP. It's not. It's not with that pedigree. You have wins on the road against Iowa, wins on the road against Northwestern, win on the road against Penn State. You're going to be fine. That one loss to Michigan on the road is going to look fine. It's going to be a good win, and especially if Michigan has a good season as well, because that's the one thing that I think is hilarious about college football is that if you lose to a team, you fare better in the eyes of the committee if that team does better after they beat you. You don't want to lose to a team that ends up losing like bad, gets upset like a couple weeks later or so. You kind of want to, if you happen to lose to a team, you kind of want them to keep winning to make your loss look better, which is interesting, the dynamic, but that's how it's been for a long time in college football. All right, we'll take a quick break. Maybe we'll pivot over to the the thing is, the Big Ten is actually the biggest question mark. I think that we kind of have an idea of who's going to come out of the ACC and Clemson. If Miami can poke their heads up again this year and come back from that rough end of the year last year, it'd be great. But I don't think that, there's too many good teams out there where not enough room for Miami to get in. It's only four spots. And then obviously Alabama and the Fighting Nick Sabans down there are the only thing that's making it interesting with them is their quarterback situation, and that's about it. All right, we'll come back after the break, and we'll continue talking about the CFP stuff. Maybe we're going to look at some more games. We'll re-look at those games from week one. I'll do some predictions, look at the lines. We talk about betting that much on here, but I like to look at the lines and see what Vegas is thinking. So we'll talk about that on the other side. Stay tuned.
Are you looking for help for your fantasy football team? Check out the GSMC Fantasy Football Podcast. Get today's best advice on who to start, who to sit, even who you should draft. From sleeper picks to red-hot lineups, they got it all covered for you. That's gsmcpodcast.com/fantasy-football-podcast. We'll cover traditional leagues, dynasty, PPR, even IDP leagues. When you need fantasy help, there's just one show to hit up. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition on a Wednesday today here as we're going through the last week of no football. This time next week, we'll have games to talk about. We'll have the Michigan, Notre Dame game to break down, all those big games at the top of the schedule. As we come in, is it called week zero officially, or we kind of call it week zero because we just realize how long the season is and the fact they only play 12 games, but still lasts as long as almost the NFL season does because of the fact that you have that break in between the championship games and the bowl games, and you play all these early bowl games, but there's 30 some odd bowl games now with all their crazy names and everything. It's interesting. It's interesting making predictions at the beginning of it, seeing that was how high people are on Wisconsin, and how high I'm not on Wisconsin and the Big 12. And Big 12, Big 10, and how obviously the class of that conference is apparently Wisconsin because they're the highest ranked team. They probably are the class of that conference if you take the real definition of class. But in sports, it has a tendency just to mean the best team, and Ohio State has an argument that they are the best team, but they're not as ranked as high. They're right below one spot below them at number five. So, what is it? One through four? And is there a three? Because Alabama one, Clemson two, is Ohio State three, and then Wisconsin four? One sec, this is annoying me. I have to double check that because, I can get those mixed up. You have to get through. We want to get through this first week. We want some games to talk about. We preview this so much. So Georgia's three. Okay, yeah. So Georgia's three. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Washington, Oklahoma, Miami, Auburn, Penn State as your top 10, and then Michigan, Notre Dame, Stanford, Michigan State. So Michigan State actually ranked higher preseason than Michigan, which is interesting because Michigan getting all these big games. Michigan State doesn't play somebody big this week, but they're going to have some games this year at home that's going to maybe spoil some seasons. I think they play Ohio State at home. The thing is, Yes, there is bad weather everywhere in the Big Ten. But then again, you have also the weather during the game. I think Columbus may be a little bit nicer, I don't know, while they play. But then you have night games in East Lansing, and it just gets, the wind blows and it gets cold. And it's cold everywhere, Tom. Yes, I know it's cold everywhere. But yeah, no, it's just, it's interesting. And Michigan State this year might be the crux of the Big Ten, because they play everybody. They play Ohio State. They play Michigan, obviously, at home. They play, yeah, they play Ohio State at home, and they play Penn State on the road. So then they also host Northwestern. Watch out for Northwestern this year. That's all I want to say. Penn State, obviously, all four of those teams in the East, that Eastern Division, are in the top 15. Ohio State's 5. Michigan State, or Penn State's 10, Michigan State's 11, and Michigan's 14. So you're all right there. They're all in the top 15 schools in the nation, all in the same division. And only one team can win the division. Only one team from those four can make the Big Ten championship game. Tom, all you talk about is the Big Ten. Yes, I know all I talk about is the Big Ten, because everything else is kind of it's not kind of decided. It's not really even decided at all. It's just, it's in my head. I'm just thinking the Big Ten has the most volatility. The Big Ten also has the two biggest scandals of the summer, so we've been talking about that just in by de facto-ness, because of DJ Durkin and his asinine and way of running a football program, and then also obviously Urban Meyer. So yes, we've been talking about the Big Ten for a while, but also they also have 5 of the top 15 schools in the football programs. I mean, if you won't look at it here, we have the top 25 here. Right here, I mean, you look at it, okay, SEC, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, and then obviously we get mixed up Pac-12, Big 12, ACC, SEC, Big Ten, Independent, Pac-12, Big Ten, Pac-12, Big 12. I mean, I already went through all the Big 12, Big Ten ones, because they're all in the top 15. That's the thing. They're all in the top 15. They're all have the most volatility. The fact that actually Miami is 8th is a little encouraging, because I don't want Clemson to run away with it. I want Miami to actually play well and maybe even beat Clemson in that ACC championship game. Just kind of mix it up a little bit, because if Clemson and Alabama just make it, so that's, they take up 1-2 spots. That makes it, it's basically a 2-team race. Unless a drastic catastrophic failure would have to happen in order for those two teams both not to make it to a cultural playoff, because they're just so talented this year, especially on defense for both those teams. It's ridiculous, their defenses. But, you know, it just kind of turns it into a 2-team race, and you want to throw Georgia in there. Georgia could be fine. They got another 5-star recruit quarterback they're going to have on the field at the same time as their quarterback who took them to the national championship game last year as a freshman. So it's just kind of not, I don't know, it's just, I don't want to say ridiculous or anything like that, but if you look at these top 4 teams right now, it's funny that it's interesting that we have a couple guys on the ESPN saying that we have 2 guys, actually, I think they both said Washington would get up into the top of the, of that, but it's so many talented teams. I mean, there's probably 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I mean, you can count the top, 15 teams. I mean, I think it drops off. I don't think TCU, West Virginia really have a chance to get into the college football playoff. Maybe a USC, I could cut them off too. So maybe all these top 14 teams, any of those teams, depending on how they play this year, obviously, we looked at all their schedules, looked at all the big games that have a lot of implications and everything. If any of them can go 1-loss or undefeated, they can get in. And they all can. Michigan could. I mean, not that they will. They could. Stanford could. They have Bryce Love. They all have. I can always point out a talent. I mean, Michigan, They have the defense. They have 2 preseason All-Americans on defense. They also have Shea Patterson coming in to play quarterback. Stanford, they have Bryce Love, a perennial. Well, not perennial, but I mean, hopeful, should have been perennial Heisman Trophy winner. I think he got robbed. But Baker Mayfield was the darling. He was the big poster boy. So I mean, you had to give it to him. You had Bryce Love at Stanford, Notre Dame. Actually, Brandon Wimbush has been announced as a starter against Michigan, so I think he's gonna be fine this year. You got Brian Lewerke at Michigan State as a quarterback. Penn State has Trace McSorley as a quarterback. I mean, honestly, it's actually really cool, because all these teams I'm listening, they have quarterbacks that are in place. I mean, it actually doesn't even go to the top until the top here that really took some competition. And usually those competitions are between two good quarterbacks. So, I mean, Michigan, like I said, Shea Patterson, even USC has their quarterback. They have their quarterback for the foreseeable future in JT Daniels. Notre Dame has Brandon Wimbush. Michigan State has Brian Lewerke. Stanford even has KJ Costello. He's pretty darn good, too. And with the play action game they're going to be running with Bryce Love, look out. It's going to make life a lot easier for him there in Stanford. So, I mean, watch out for that. Penn State has Trace McSorley. Auburn has Jarrett Stidham. Miami has Malik Rozier, who's fine. Obviously, Oklahoma and Kyler Murray, that is going to be interesting. I mean, that's something I'm going to be watching. We're going to have a Kyler Murray like health section every week this year coming into the season. But yeah, so Oklahoma there with Kyler Murray. Washington obviously has Jake Browning. Ohio State, it's going to be Miles Gaskins, I'm pretty sure, if it hasn't been announced already. Obviously, I think Urban Meyer and Ryan Day have other things to worry about. Well, at least Urban Meyer has other things to worry about. Wisconsin with Alex Hornibrook, but really it's Jonathan Taylor there, running back. Georgia, they have two guys. They have two options. They got a guy who could run the ball, honestly, and Justin Fields, if they want to run more of a wildcat, well, run pass option kind of thing, really put the defense on its heels. And then they're also going to have Jake Fromm out there as well, because he's more of your prototypical passer, and that's what's how it's going to work. Because so Georgia gets that they have a quarterback. Clemson has two quarterbacks as well, but they're probably going to run both of them, and then Alabama also. So their top three teams also all have two viable quarterbacks. If you want to call Jalen Hurts a viable, Jalen Hurts is a viable quarterback. He just, there are some things that he can't do that the Tua Tagovailoa can do, which is why I think that's a kind of a no brainer when it comes to that position battle there at Alabama. But you can leave it to college football to figure out a way to get two quarterbacks on the field effectively, because defenses aren't as going to be as aggressive and as keyed up as NFL teams, where yes, you hear the Baltimore Ravens, oh, we're going to try and get Lamar Jackson on the field with Joe Flacco. Okay, it's a trick. Plays don't really work like that. You could very easily run plays where Justin Fields and Jake Fromm are on the field at the same time. Whether you're lining up Justin Fields in a slot and he can come on an end around and make a little wide receiver pass kind of thing, or you do the same thing and you have Justin Fields snap it, throw a lateral out to Jake Fromm on the outside, and now you have an outside passer just like that. You swing the ball to the outside, you have another guy who chucked the ball down the field. So that's kind of what I'm feeling here from those two guys, and it works in college. You could do the same thing at Clemson. You could do the same thing at Alabama, because it's actually really interesting where all of those schools, you could draw comparisons. I mean, I know Kelly Bryant is more of a runner, even though Trevor Lawrence can run too. They both have really good, pretty good arms. Trevor Lawrence has a cannon, but then you see that maybe Trevor Lawrence is more of a prototypical quarterback versus Kelly Bryant wants to run the ball more. Same thing at at Georgia, where Jake Fromm's your more prototypical big quarterback, where he's going to sit back, stand in the pocket, and just pick people apart, versus Justin Fields seems like a guy who's going to be running around a lot more, maybe a little dual threat guy. And then obviously also at Alabama, you have Tua Tagovailoa, more sit in the pocket, pro-style quarterback. Then Jalen Hurts is more your dual threat. So it's interesting, the dynamic. That those are your top three schools, by the way, guys. Those are your number one, two, and three schools in your AP poll. Those are all schools that have a very good chance of making it in the college football playoff. You saw Georgia with two losses actually last year make it to the CFP. I thought they actually had one loss. So I'm going to – I always forget who lost to who. Who lost to who? So Georgia, who'd they lose to? And they lost the national championship game. So they only had one loss. On the second loss of the national championship game. Duh. So they had one loss going into the season. So hold on. I want to see if I can pull up their 2014 football results. Here we go. So they lost to... They beat Notre Dame by 1 point. They lost to Auburn. Oh, so they did. Okay, so they did lose to Auburn. I thought Auburn. So what? That's why I knew I was wrong there. I knew I was wrong. I know I'm coming to the end. It's good. We're coming to the end of the segment here, because I know I was wrong when I was talking. You guys probably talking to me when I'm listening back to myself and be like, "Oh, Tom, you were wrong. Auburn didn't beat Georgia. Georgia didn't beat Auburn way back then." I think Auburn lost a bad game and they came up, kicked Georgia's butt. They beat them 40-17, by the way. That's the thing. Which then got then Auburn obviously went into the that Iron Bowl, won that game, and got the rematch with Georgia, and Georgia came back, beat them 28-7. So that's why I think there's your game right there. If you want to look at Auburn's Can I pull up Auburn's schedule, please? Is it going to give it to me from last year? No? All right. That's fine. That's from, that's their schedule this year. But no, this, we're going to come to the end of the segment here, as I'm just trying to realizing I knew it in the back of my head that game was the opposite I was thinking, because that wouldn't make any sense. Georgia would have been undefeated going into the college football playoff, and they probably would have been a one seed. So they were a two seed. So it's the way it was. All right, we'll come back after the break. Stay tuned.
Check out the show that's built on the MMA. From the UFC to extreme cage fighting, they got the fights covered. Check out the GSMC MMA podcast. Get the latest news on past or upcoming fights. Join us as we talk to and about some of the biggest names in the MMA, past, present, and future. When it's the fight game, there's just one show to check out. GSMCpodcast.com/MMA-podcast. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast, the college football edition. I'm just trying to get a gauge of what we're probably going to see this year, just going back from last year, because last year we've always had it, whether it was TCU getting snubbed or an Ohio State team getting snubbed, or honestly, it's all Auburn team getting snubbed. I do want to remind you that Auburn did lose to Clemson at the beginning of the season in week two in a game at Clemson, and then they also lost to LSU in the Tiger Bowl, which is the LSU Auburn, obviously both teams are the Tigers, and they lost that game too. So they were going in two losses against Alabama. So then they beat Georgia and Alabama, and that's what got them into the conference title game. If they win the conference title game, they get in. So they lost two games in the regular season, and nobody else who got into the college football playoff last year did that. So that's probably why. Except, I mean, Alabama lost one game; they lost to Auburn, so that was it. But the thing is, Georgia coming back in the rematch. So does that Georgia game, because it wasn't in Georgia, it was out of the game against Georgia, was at Auburn. So yeah, I know, Tom, you're looking at last year. Stop looking at last year. I know, I'm just trying to get a gauge of what they expect, you know. So Auburn looked really good. They looked like a team that could easily get in the college football playoff. Oh, they even lost the conference title game. How could you hold out a team that beat the other team in the Iron Bowl to get to the conference title game? They even played a whole other game that they lost. So, I mean, even if the thing is, Auburn was kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. They needed to win out. They needed to win. They won the game against Georgia. They won the game against Alabama. They needed to win the third game. They needed to win all three of those games to get in, because they already lost their first two. They already lost two games. They weren't going to get. There was no way they were going to get in with three losses before, even with the one of the losses being a conference title game. But so especially with Ohio State sitting there like, huh? But then Alabama sitting there, huh? We only have one loss. Ohio State had two losses actually. They lost to Oklahoma, or one loss. They lost to Oklahoma, but then again, Oklahoma lost to Iowa State. So I know. I have some of these games in my head, some of them not, from last year. But no, Tom, what about this year? Well, this year, we're not going to determine who's going to win a conference title game, or who any of them, or who's going to be a college football playoff within the week one. Obviously, we can decide who's going to have a tough chance to get in after week one. Like if Michigan loses to Notre Dame, obviously their stock goes down. Some of the games they play they could play spoiler. They needed to win, obviously. They needed to win it out, obviously. Same goes for Notre Dame. Same goes for Washington. Same goes for Auburn. I think those are the four teams really that are thinking they have a chance to get in. And maybe Miami, if you want to think about Miami against LSU, they should win that game. They're a better team. But if LSU beats Miami, that's the thing. That's the one thing that kind of opens up the doors. If LSU beats Miami, they shoot up the boards. Miami drops down. Then you have another SEC team in the mix. You drop one of the ACC teams, even though Miami could obviously run the table. They'd have to beat Clemson in the ACC championship game and Florida State. So don't count out Florida State. We might see DeAndre Francois turn that team into a team that we're going to turn that program into a team that we're going to be talking about come down the stretch in November. So. Don't be surprised there if that's going to happen. But, you know, it's interesting looking at this here. Auburn, they were darn good last year. I would say they had two really good running backs, or with one really good running back, and then Jared Stidham. And, I mean, they had two, but it was all about Kerryon Johnson back then. Now he's in the Lions, and we'll see how many touches he gets with Detroit. They have a pretty crowded backfield, but they seem to like him a lot there. And we'll see if he gets the most of the brunt of the carries. Tom, this is not the fantasy football show, but there is one. Go listen to it. It's on the same thing. Type in GSMC football. I'm sure that you find the fantasy football show popping up as well, because it's right along there wherever you listen to your podcast. If you like NFL stuff, go tune into that if you're doing a fantasy league. All right. I know that we're going to save that new faces for the new places for the last segment, because I know we've talked a lot about coaches. We talked a lot about the new coaches, but what do you expect from them in their first season? Obviously, there's higher expectations for certain coaches than others. You can get there's guys who are coming in cold, basically, or guys who are coming in from other jobs right away and just taking over a new program. So, or was one guy coming in cold, and Chip Kelly, pretty much. That's it. All right. We'll saving that for in about 10 minutes when we go to the next segment. But for right now, I know with the CFP outlook, and we talked a lot about the Big Ten. So, I mean, I think it's going to come down. Michigan State could make some noise. Like I said, all these teams, I am not that high on Wisconsin. I haven't been that high on Wisconsin, even though they are the highest ranked team of any of the Big Ten teams. Maybe because of their schedule, and they know that you play a bunch of the cupcake schools. Because basically, they have three games. Everything else, if they don't win those other games, then they don't deserve to make it to that anyways. But they need to win those three games on the road. If you want to throw in that Northwestern game, you can too. But I think the Iowa game matters. Obviously, the Michigan game matters. And then the Penn State game. They also have the Northwestern game that could throw them for the loop as well. So you never know. Up there in Evanston on the coast of Lake Michigan, it can get pretty chilly. I would say that because they played Madison. Doesn't matter. I think they're pretty used to it there too. I've never really been. I think they had one loss last year, and still they went undefeated. They had the easy schedule, had one undefeated, one loss, still didn't make it. And, oh, by the way, the team that beat them, they didn't make it either. it's just funny because, I mean, obviously you weren't going to keep out Clemson, you weren't going to keep out Oklahoma, you weren't going to keep out Georgia, the SEC champion, and basically the last team was like, what about Alabama? Because they're pretty good too. They lost a tough game in the Iron Bowl to a good Auburn team, which is why probably Auburn was so mad that they didn't make it. But all Auburn had to do was win that conference title game, because then you probably Georgia had a regular. Georgia beat Auburn. Georgia would have beat Auburn twice. Georgia would have had two losses. You probably would have had Georgia to get knocked out. Auburn would have been the third seed with two losses, and Alabama would have been the fourth seed because Auburn would have been the last conference champion. Then you put in Alabama. But then again, that still raises the question. Even though you say, okay, Auburn won two games against Georgia, is that better than? Even though they have two losses, is that better than Ohio State, who beat Wisconsin undefeated to win the conference, and they only have one loss? So maybe even if Auburn, who wins their conference, doesn't get in over another conference champion, that's the only way that a conference champion should not get in, is if they get beat out by another conference champion. Which is why I think that there should be a 16 playoff or an 18 playoff, because you have two conference champions get knocked out. Even though USC was just, they had no business making it anyways. The Pac-12 was beat up on each other last year. But yeah, Ohio State, yeah, they lost one game. They lost a game to a good team in Oklahoma, and I know it was at home, but you know, Baker Mayfield was Baker Mayfield at that time. He was full Baker mode. As I mean, look at Alabama only had that one loss last year, right? Or Oklahoma. And then so did Ohio State. So Ohio State, well, they had two losses. Who else did they lose to last year? This is the problem. I don't have their schedule at my fingertips. I need your schedule at my fingertips from last year. Because this is live and talking to you guys while I'm trying to figure out, okay, somebody yell into your radio and tell me who they lost to last year why does it always do this? I don't want 2016. I want 2017. Wow. All right. Well, this is, I just don't have that on my fingertips here. I have to go to freaking Wikipedia to find it because they don't have because Google was giving me the wrong thing. So they lost to Iowa? Really? 24-55? They got whacked by Iowa. Okay. All right. And it was in Iowa. So, I mean, you can't really knock them for that too much. But yeah, that's all it takes. That's all it takes. They won their conference. They lost to Iowa. In Iowa. They lost a home game to a good Oklahoma team, Baker Mayfield. That's it. You win your conference, doesn't matter. You're still out because Alabama didn't lose that second game. They didn't. They only lost one game. They had a chance to get to another game because the thing is, if Alabama wins that Iron Bowl, they get to the conference championship game, and they could lose to Clemson. They could lose to Georgia. I think if Alabama wins out, goes to the conference title game undefeated, and they lose to Georgia in the conference title game, they still make it. And that's how it's going to work. And that's how it's going to work this year, too. It's going to be the same thing. Same thing this year. We're going to have probably three conference champions and one non-conference champion get in. And because this one, two, even though Ohio State, I think a loss to Iowa isn't anything to slouch at. They beat everybody else. I mean, they beat Penn State. They beat everybody else. They beat Penn State by 1 point. You can't lose. That's how college works. You gotta be perfect, and then you can still be perfect, like a Wisconsin, lose one game and not make it still. It's all about the strength schedule. I think that's what it comes down to. Because yes, you could be a Wisconsin, you could lose, win all your games. They could win all their games this year. Wisconsin could, I think. Their schedule is set up to have some more strength to it. And if they do win those road games, like I said, their resume will look mighty good, and it'll be tough to keep them out. Even if they don't, well, the thing is, then you say, okay, what if they don't win the conference? What if the same thing happens? What if they have the same schedule, the exact same thing that happened last year? They go undefeated the regular season. They lose to Ohio State in the conference title game. But they beat all those teams. They beat Penn State on the road. They beat Michigan on the road. They beat Northwestern on the road. They beat Iowa on the road. What if they lose? They win all those games, all those great pedigree games. All those teams that's all their one losses. What if all those teams only lost one game, two? But they don't make it, obviously. Ohio State wins. They win that division, I'm assuming. And they beat Wisconsin again. So Wisconsin has one loss. In a conference title game, and they're undefeated with all those good resumes, all those good teams on their resume. That's difficult right there, because then now you have, what about Ohio State? Obviously, you're assuming that they only have maybe one loss, or no losses, so they'll get in. You pencil in Clemson. I think Clemson has the easiest ride. Clemson has the easiest ride to the national to the conference college football playoff. They have the least of their worries. They have nobody really threatening them in their conference, at least in their division. Actually, so they get basically a free ride if they don't hiccup at all to their conference title game. So I wouldn't really worry about them at all. That's why I don't really talk about the ACC all that much. It's really the Big Ten, because who is it? There's five teams in the top 15 in the Big Ten. Five teams. And only probably one. I'm not going to say two, even though this year I think that it could be a year where we get two Big Ten teams in there. How it's going to happen? It's going to happen because the only way it happens is if Michigan or one of the teams, it's Penn State and Michigan State, Ohio State, and or Michigan, two of those four teams get down to the final week undefeated, and one of them loses, one of them wins. One of them gets in the conference title game, wins that, so they're in. And that team with the one loss at the end of the year, say it's against, say it's Michigan. They lose to Ohio State. They have one other game. They have one loss against Michigan. They did one loss against Ohio State. They don't make it to the conference title game. Who does that sound like? Oh, it sounds like Alabama last year, doesn't it? So now you have to take into account here, okay, so are they better than the runner-up for the SEC? That's what it's going to come down to, I think. Because I think the Big 12 and the Pac-12, I'm not even talking about them at all. Because, I don't mean, Washington might be the one savior. Stanford seems to step on its toe every year, even though they have a good running back. So, I mean, you could throw them into it. This could be a completely different conversation in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. But, you know, we talk about it as we go along. It sounds very similar to last year, that scenario I just threw out. So, that kicks out the Big 12. It kicks out the Pac-12 again. Because I don't think Oklahoma is going to be... I think there's just too many good teams in the Big Ten to let Oklahoma in again. I just don't think the Big 12 is going to give them enough. And I think West Virginia is going to be good, so they could lose to them. All right. We'll come back after the break. We'll do some talk on the new coaches. I know we talked about Scott Frost. We'll also talk, we're going to go through everybody here before on a Wednesday. And then Friday, I'm still kind of figuring out what I want to do with the second half of the show. The first half, we're really just going to break down those big games. We're going to look at matchups. We're going to break down rosters of those. Maybe we're going to do that the whole way. I might just go. There's four big games over the weekend, right? So there's the LSU-Miami game. Notre Dame, Michigan. Yeah, there's four big games. LSU, Miami, Notre Dame, Michigan, Auburn, Wisconsin, and Alabama. You can say Alabama, Louisville, but it's actually... Is it that one? Is it the one I wanted? Yeah, those ones. And we'll break them down and we'll do a segment on each of those, basically. That's how we're going to do it on Friday. So everybody stay tuned and we'll be right back with the final segment of Wednesday. So stay tuned.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
All right, welcome back to GSMC Football Podcast on a Wednesday today here, the College Football Edition. We've been talking a lot about who's going to come out of the Big Ten. I know that's kind of the conference this year for me that's going to be the biggest question mark. They have five teams in the top 15, more than any other conference. Obviously, we have some other good conferences well represented in the top 15 as well. Just kind of cutting off the bottom half of that top 25. I know, but you know, it's what I was doing for the Big Ten to make my point. Because that's kind of the funny thing with the Big Ten is that after that, it just plummets. You have your top five teams all in the top 15, and then after that, it goes pew. Maybe Northwestern. That's it. That's Northwestern's their saving grace. They're not ranked right now, but they could be by the end of the year. I'm not sure how Purdue is going to fare, but Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, Indiana. Is that it? That's four, and Northwestern is five, plus the other five is 10. There's more, and I can't remember them off the top of my head, that are going to be slouches this year. And, Illinois, Auburn, Rutgers, Nebraska will be interesting, because of Scott Frost, but Rutgers, nah, Indiana, nah, Illinois, Maryland, nope. So just those teams are all poopy. Yeah. All right. So new coaches. Here we go. New coaches. How we're going to fare. We'll start. I'm remembering off the top of my head here as well, because I think I have them all down. We'll go from West Coast to East Coast. So in the Pac-12, at Oregon, you have Mario Cristobal, and he's got Justin Herbert. And he's got Justin Herbert with a good Oregon, usually a very good, well-outfitted Oregon team. We found Royce Freeman ended up being a very good running back last year, goes to the NFL. So we'll see who's going to be replacing him. But I think Justin Herbert and whoever they have in the receiving core, usually very talented and athletic receivers there at Oregon, are going to be just fine. So, I mean, not really that. Mario Cristobal, I think, is he a first-time head coach? At least he's a first-time head coach on this big of a scale in a major Power 5 conference. And I think he'll be just. I think Oregon actually might be a surprise team. They could be a surprise team in that Big Ten, in the Pac-12 North. They can mix it up a little bit. They got to beat Wisconsin. They got to beat Stanford. Everything else will kind of figure itself out probably. But those are your two biggest competition in that division. And if you want to get to Levi Stadium for that Pac-12 championship game, you have to beat those two teams. And you could, because you have the quarterback to do it. And Justin Herbert, watch out. He could be on Heisman talk. He could be on all over the place because that guy's got size. He's basically, look at Carson Wentz. He looks a lot like Carson Wentz when it comes to body style and play style. When moving around the pocket, mobility, just running the ball straight for yards, and also got a nice arm too. So look at his numbers he put up in the short time he played last year. I think it was only 5 or 6 games. They were pretty crazy. I think we talked about him a few weeks ago when I first really realized how good he was, but watched out for him this year. So that's Mario Cristobal and his quarterback at Oregon. Oregon State also has a new coach in Jonathan Taylor. Or no, is that what it is? Is that what his name is? Jonathan Smith is going to be figuring out how to turn around that program. Obviously, he's going to get a big test the first game at Ohio State. Hopefully, keep him under 60, I think, is what you're going to be worried about, and turning that program around. Then going down through, so it's the same. Obviously, Javon Shaw is still at Stanford. Cal had a new head coach. I think it was last year, though. So they got a new. He's in for his second season or second or third season. So then down in LA, you have Chip Kelly. So Chip Kelly is going to have some work to do, obviously at UCLA, because he's no more Josh Rosen. You got Dorian Thompson Robinson, but then you also have Devin Mostert. So you got to. I think it's going to be Mostert for week one, but I would not be surprised to see Thompson Robinson out there sooner rather than later in the game, working his way, because Chip Kelly working that fast pace. I think that both those guys kind of do play into his schemes, but he might find that Dorian Thompson Robinson works better. But Devin Mostert's been there longer. He's more of a he's had some time on the field after when Josh Rosen was hurt last year. So if you want to go with a more experienced guy, you can. And I think Chip Kelly, it'll be just fine down in LA. He took his years off. Or year off, or whatever he did. Year off in between coaching the Niners. But the guy's been successful. He's been successful everywhere he's gone except for San Francisco, and he was there for 1 year and had a bad roster. So he was good in Oregon. He was good with the Eagles. And I would give him a couple years. I don't think that UCLA is going to really popping on the into the conversation for the maybe a Pac-12 South championship. But right now, I think your two teams in the Pac-12 South are Utah and USC, because USC made the right decision at quarterback, and that's about it. All right, then you have two new head coaches down in Arizona. You have the ex-NFL guy in Herm Edwards, who has been sitting in a TV studio for the last few years for working for ESPN, but now he goes down, and if anything, he's going to have those guys ready, like energy ready. They're going to be energized. They're going to be motivated. They're going to know what they're supposed to do. Obviously, Arizona State football is not the biggest deal in the world, so you have to figure that one out to get some hype. But I feel like he's going to hype it up. It's a big name. If you pay attention to ESPN enough, like I do, or NFL stuff enough, like I do, you know who Herm Edwards is. He actually is from Monterey, where I went to college, and I was able to see him a couple different times while he was going back home. But so it's interesting seeing him down there. And then you have another guy at Arizona, and Kevin Sumlin, who is who's your prototypical college coach, younger, rah-rah coach, great recruiter. Obviously, him and Khalil Tate this year, I think it's going to be interesting because he's more of your recruiter getting your guys to the school. And then who is going to ever be his play caller working with Khalil Tate is going to be the key, because those teams they put up points, but can they stop their team from scoring is the problem. That's been the problem a lot for Arizona over the last few years. Are they going to key up with their defense And maybe Kevin Sumlin could, I don't know how many years he's got left to Khalil Tate. This is if he's going to be going into the draft next season or whatever he's going to be doing. You got to be able to take advantage of a talented quarterback and get a good defense that can get him back on the field effectively. And that's what his recruiting is for. That's what he's, I think that's what he's going to be doing. He's going to be going after defensive players there. Obviously, you want to recruit everything, but key on the top defensive players, I would just try, use more of your resources for that. All right, then thinking you have move Venture over to Texas. You have at A&M, Jimbo Fisher. Haven't really heard that much from Jimbo other than the fact that he's going to be having an investigation on his hands pretty soon here, as there was a report out against that university for some sort of recruiting infringement. So he's going to be called on the carpet for that pretty soon, probably. And they have no quarterback decision made, I don't think, there. I don't think that he has an idea of what he really wants to do. They got through spring practice. We talked about him a lot. They've kind of gone dormant from College Station, as we'll just kind of see as it goes along what A&M is going to look like. They're going to have a test right away in week two against Clemson. So, yeah, good luck with that. I think Clemson, I think that game is in College Station, so it's at Kyle Field, and I think honestly, if Clemson has a good game, their first game, I think they're gonna be just fine with Furman, and they're probably gonna work out Trevor Lawrence more as well as Kelly Bryant, and then you're gonna get them coming to your house, and I think they're gonna stomp them. Honestly, I think they are. Clemson's is that good. Their defense is that good. Their defense is gonna shut down whoever is at quarterback for A&M. I don't think Jimbo Fisher's been prepared enough for this season. I think it's going to take him a good 2-3 years at that program to figure it out. Because I think that, I mean, the thing is, think about who he had at Florida State. He had very good players. He had top defense. He had Jameis Winston. He had a good, very good running back, Dalvin Cook. He had a very good receivers in, was Dalvin Cook there when they won the national championship game? Well, he's been there. And very good receiver in Kelvin Benjamin, too. So he has had some good weapons. There's no names like that at Texas A&M right now. There's not. And there hasn't been since for a while. I know they had Christian Kirk just come out, but that's a kind of a peripheral receiver that dropped in the draft, actually, and wasn't even the top receiver drafted. Wasn't even the top two receiver drafted. Dante Pettis and DJ Moore went before him. So just we'll see how that, well, he works out. He's on the Cardinals. But, you know, it's just, there's a difference. I think that A&M football, even though they got caught up in the Johnny Manziel whirlwind, Kevin Sumlin got wrapped up in it, and then it all went to pieces. And then you get Jimbo Fisher, the savior, coming over when he really isn't a savior. He's more of a kind of a muckraker, I think, than anything else. Yelling at fans last year, it's just not my favorite thing. Didn't deal with it. His quarterback got hurt, and it all went to poop last year, pretty much in the end that season. So not really good with adversity, and I'm not sure how he's going to do at Texas A&M, because there's going to be a lot of adversity at that school, especially the first couple of years. Then now, hold on. Next head coach change. Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State comes over from Penn State as an OC. I think that's actually going to be a team that you have to watch out for. I don't think they really have any chance to make it to the playoff, but could definitely make some moves. They could make maybe be a spoiler this season. I'm going to look see if they host anybody, if there's any big games at Mississippi State that they have to that they could possibly mix it up this year. Mix it up this year with a win if they could upset somebody coming into this season. But no, Joe Moorhead with the quarterback they got there. So let's see here. I got the schedule. So I mean, they're 18th in the country. They're not a slouch. They play Auburn in Auburn. They play A&M. Sorry, they play Auburn at home. They play A&M at home. They do have to go to Alabama. And that's about it. So, I mean, they play Florida at home. I'm not really worried about Florida, but they have that one game against on October 6th hosting Auburn. And then they also host A&M and they go to Alabama. So, I mean, they can make some things happen. If you go into Alabama and win that game, you can make some things happen. You beat Auburn at home, you can make some things happen and could definitely have a say on what happens in the SEC. All right, as we come to the end of the show here, I mean, we have a couple more coaches to go, don't we? As I think that... Who else is new? Oh, Florida State, Willie Taggart made the decision to keep DeAndre Francois. Obviously, hopefully he stays healthy. I think that's the right decision to keep a guy who's more accustomed to your playbook in there, even though he did have some issues. But the fact that he's been able to show Willie Taggart that he's able to move past these issues and become ready to start, then that's a good sign there at Florida State for them. And then Florida has Dan Mullen now, so and that's it, right? That's it as far as I can think off the top of my head. Yeah, Dan Mullen of Florida, make a decision on quarterback pretty much. And Florida hasn't really been out there, up there. They haven't really had anybody that, to talk about. They had a former player get pulled over on Hard Knocks and then score a touchdown the year after Galloway, whatever his name is, Mario Galloway for the Browns. But that's about it. As you know, it's just going to be interesting to see what they do this year as they kind of the forgotten SEC team as they've had some just years of not really doing much, losing too many games. I mean, you can wait, you can have years of winning records. You can go 9-3 all year long, all year for all 5 years in a row. Nobody will talk about you. 9-3 You can go, you can have a 10-win season and nobody will talk about you because you got to make it to the SEC championship game. You got to make it to a meaningful bowl game. You got to make it to somewhere. And that's what Dan Mullen wants to do. I don't know how it's going to work. It's just going to be interesting to see if going from a school. I think it's a lateral move for him. It's not really an upgrade. I think that maybe Florida, the pedigree of Florida, but that was Urban Meyer and Tim Tebow, and that was about it. All right, that'll wrap it up for the show, guys. Today, as we've talked a lot about, we talked to ad nauseum about the Big Ten and just different scenarios and how we can compare last year to this year and what could possibly see coming in. Obviously, this we know what we're going to do on Friday. Like I said, Friday first. All the different segments. We have 4 segments on the show. Perfect 4 games. We got the Michigan Notre Dame, Washington Auburn, LSU, and Miami. And then I think, do I want to do that? Alabama and Louisville. We could throw in some other games as well, as there are some big ones coming this weekend. All right. Have a good Wednesday. We'll talk to you on Friday. See you later. Bye bye.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Football Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.